Entendemos a palavra, a passando a todos os direitos, o andar de mim. Não aceitem the holy with self, and accepting usually the time for spiritual growth. Help to grow in your spiritual life and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And send you in his letter, which is one chapter, he gave us some practical instruction for our spiritual growth. Actually, he gave us five commandments for Christian growth. Let's read them starting from verse 20. Verse 20. You will be, but you beloved, building yourself up on your most holy day, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others seize with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So, we can summarize these five commandments as St. Jude told us. Number one, to build yourself up in faith. Build yourself up in faith. Number two, to pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. And number four, to look forward to the mercy of God that leads to eternal life, which to have hope in the mercy of God. And last point, when he said on others, have compassion, on some have compassion, dinasamia, rescuing the perishing. So these are the five points that we are going to talk about today. How to build yourself up in the faith, to pray in the Spirit, to keep yourself in the love of God, to look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and rescuing the perishing. Our Lord, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Many people actually they argue, well, like, don't teach me about theology and doctrine. You know, I don't think I need to know all of these things. Just give me practical ideas. How to live with Christ. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear just doctrine and theology. Leave this to those who are specialists in this area. Is this right or wrong? If you study in a letter from the letters of St. Paul, you will find, for example, Rome, you will find the 11th chapter, from chapter 1 to 11, about theology and doctrine, the doctrine of justification and sanctification. And then from chapter 12 to chapter 16, it starts to give you some practical application on the after he laid the foundation, the theological foundation, then he starts to give some practical application. In the same way in Hebrews, the first 10 chapters, theology, and then from chapter 11, he starts to give some practical application. The same in Galatians, in Ephesians, all his letters. So, if teaching theology is not important for the regular believer, why St. Paul actually in most, actually in all his letters, the first part which is the biggest part, was pure theology, and then he starts to give practical application. Let me tell you an analogy. Maybe it will bring closer to your mind the idea of theology and the practical experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think The person who says, don't teach me theology, just give me a practical way to live with Christ, like a person who is standing at a beach and enjoying the experience of the water and the sun and the sand. So he is enjoying this experience. And then you think to him, map. This map about where the beach is located in relationship to the continent and to the whole world. So he will tell you, this is very boring. I don't like to watch a map or to look at the map. I'm enjoying my experience. I'm enjoying being at the beach, and I'm enjoying this first-hand experience. Why you are going to give me this map? Actually, the map is like theology. And standing at the beach, enjoying this experience, is like you are enjoying your experience with God through prayer, through attending a church, through reading a Holy Scripture. And yes, I agree with you. It is a real experience, and it is boring to look at this map. But I want to tell you two facts about the map. The first fact, this map is the collection or the sum of the experiences of many, many people and scientists who experience the same experience, but actually they put it together and give you an accurate description of your experience. So the map is experience or the sum or the accumulation of the experience of many, many people. But when you stand by yourself at the beach, you have your own experience. In the same way, theology. Theology is the experience of many church fathers about who God is, the Holy Trinity, His plan to justify us, His plan to save us, His plan to sanctify us, His economy around the church. So this was the experience of many people, and they checked one another, and they came with this very true and very real experience, because the man, it is true and clear experience about how this beach looks like. Another thing about the map, if you start or decide to travel from one place or one location to another location through the sea, actually you need the map. You cannot travel from one location to another location without the map. In the same way, in order to get deeper and deeper in your relationship with God, actually you need this map, you need theology. You need to understand who God is for you. What is your relationship with the Holy Trinity? What is your relationship with God the Father? What is your relationship with God the Son? What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? What is your relationship with the sacraments of the church? What is God's plan to sanctify and to justify you? And what is your role in accepting this plan? So, theology here is very, very important in building yourself up, in having a real experience and a true experience with God. That's why St. Jude starts the first point in how to build yourself up, how to grow in your spiritual life. He said, build yourself up in your most holy faith. In the doctrine, you need to understand that the doctrines of the church, the doctrines of the whole scripture about God, actually, this is the building material, you know, like the bricks that need this building. So the theology is the building material. The doctrine is the building material. And St. John used the word in your most holy faith. Because if you
يود حاجة مخصوصة يعني حاجة نطري للسيك the building will collapse. In the same way, if you use false doctrine, again your faith will collapse. That's why you need to build yourself in your most holy faith, in the true faith, in the true doctrine. If you want to have a strong building, spiritual building, then you need to build up yourself in your most holy faith. That's in contrast to the unholy teaching of the false teacher. Another thought is the building material is your faith. And here sometimes we expect God to do this building. But St. Jude, he told us, build yourself in your most holy faith. For any work, in order to be successful, usually there is a divine element and a human element. Even in building yourself up, there is a divine element and a human element. And these two elements work together. If you don't do your human element, God will not do the divine element. And if you do the human element only, without asking God to do the divine element, you cannot achieve anything. This is the grace, and that's our work. You need to offer the five loaves and the two fish, although you know very well that these five loaves and two fish will not feed the multitude. But you need to offer them, this is a human element, and then God will bless them and will feed the multitude. You know, to remove the stone from the tomb, although removing the stone will not raise the dead, but after you remove the stone, God will raise Lazarus from the dead. You need to wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Also the washing is not the reason of your healing. But after you wash your eyes, God will give you the healing. So, what is the human element? The human element is what you can do. The divine element is what you cannot do. Whatever you can do, God will not do it for you. But you need to do it. Regardless how little it is. And after you do it, the grace of God, the divine element will intervene and will build you up. So what, how you build yourself? What is the human element here? How you build yourself in your most holy faith? So, St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 10 verse 17 that faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Because how do you know the theology? How do you know the doctrine? How Church Father spoke to us about the doctrine of justification, salvation, Holy Trinity, all these theological issues, redemption? It's from the Holy Scripture. Because that is our teacher to theology and faith. And St. Paul said, faith comes through hearing. Hearing what is the word of God. So, you want to build yourself in your faith? Study the scripture. See what the scripture tells you about God. Nobody saw God like the Father. But God revealed himself to us through his word. Through his word, Jesus Christ, who became flesh, the word took flesh, and dwelt among us, and also he revealed his art through the word, the written word, the Holy Scripture. So, how to build yourself up? You need to study the Scripture. When we listen to the Scripture, meditate on them, put into practice in our life the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is how we will build ourselves up in our faith. And I differentiate between three ways of reading the scripture. Some people actually read the scripture just as they read it.
My son, pay attention to my wisdom, lend your ear to my understanding, test me, preserve. So he just speak words. And then, glory be to God forever, and forgot all what he read. This is not building yourself up, because you are reading with your eyes. Another person, or the second way, is better than the first person. He reads, and he understands. So he reads by his eyes, and understands by his mind. But that's it. This person actually can hold arguments about the scripture and can defend the doctrine. It's in his mind. He can be a scholar in theology. But that's it. But actually, this is not enough. It's not enough to read it with your eyes and to understand it with your mind. But you need also to keep it in your heart and to live by it. So, to build yourself up, read it with your eyes, understand it with your mind, and then apply it in your life. Live by. That's why the Lord says, the word I've spoken to you is life and spirit. It is life. You need to live by. The word of God builds up, edifies, strengthens us in our most holy faith. The second commandment that St. Jude told us, you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? In order to understand, let me just read with you some verses from the letters of St. Paul. The first verse in Romans 8:15. St. Paul is saying that, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. What does it mean? St. Paul is telling you, now that the Holy Spirit that you receive in the sacrament of confirmation or chrismation, this spirit is the spirit of the Son. And this spirit will unify you with the Son. So you will be one with the Son of God. So those Father has only one begotten Son, but through the action of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of chrismation, he will unify you with the Son. And thus you also will be the Son to God. That's what we call the spirit of adoption, or the spirit of sonship. And actually, we praise God every morning in the prime hour when we say, you give us the spirit of sonship. And through this spirit, we can call God Abba. Abba means dad, my father. So now we are qualified to call God Father. And so you are not now a slave, but you are a son. So praying in the Holy Spirit means what? Praying in the Holy Spirit, when you stand before God, although I will never forget that I am a slave, by nature I am a servant, but through His grace, through His love to me, now I can call Him our Father. Now my relationship with God is not a relationship based on fear, based on the fear of the slave toward their master. But this relationship is a relationship of love, because I am his son and he is my father. I don't deserve to be his son, but out of his love, he called me to be his son. He accepted me to be his son. That's why when I stand and I call him Abba, I call him our Father, I am indebted to him. I am indebted to him because of his love. So to pray in the Spirit, now you know your position, your relationship with God. When you talk to him, you are speaking as sons. And when you obey him because you love him, not because you fear him, but because you love him. And as St. John said, and love casts fear away. So that is our relationship with God. That is pray in the spirit. Pray as children, not as a slave. Usually, in the end of the fraction, days of prayer, we pray while we're born again, breaking the bread, that the body of Christ. In the fraction, we will purify our heart, our soul, our mind, so that with enlightened heart, with pure soul, with unashamed deceit, we can have boldness to call you without fear. To call you without fear, we have hope to call you without fear. يعني without fear, not with the spirit of slave, but as a children, with the chanting of children, our Father who art in heaven. So this great spirit, ask God as your Father. And I told you, St. Jude is giving us this commandment to build ourselves up, spiritual growth, how to grow. So first, we learn that we need to grow by getting this building material, the faith, the doctrine, understand them and apply them in our life. But you cannot apply them, that is the human part. You apply them in your life. But as I told you, how to get the divine part. You cannot get the divine part without prayer. Because God told you, ask and you shall receive. So by studying the scripture, by understanding the scripture, by applying the scripture in your life, that is, you are doing your human part in building yourself up. But now you need the divine part. So how to get this divine part? When you pray as the Holy Spirit. When you pray as the Son, not as a slave. When you pray with spirit of love, not with spirit of fear. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, St. Paul says, because you are sons, now you are children, God sent the spirit of his Son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So the spirit, most of the time, all the time actually, reminded me with my tether, now I am his son, I am calling him Abba, Father. Romans 8:26, this is a very important verse. Why we should pray in the Spirit? St. Paul said, the Spirit helps in our weakness. What is our weakness? Yes. For we do not know what we ought to pray for. We do not know what we ought to pray for. So maybe sometimes I pray a prayer or ask a request that may help me. May help me. Or not according to the will of God. So how can I solve this problem? Can Paul says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. St. Paul is saying, most of the time, we don't know how to pray, or what we should ask for. Sometimes we can ask for revenge, God to revenge from our enemies. Will this prayer be against me? Because God won't ask me to forgive, not to ask for revenge. So, most of the time we don't know what we ought to pray. And St. Paul says, this is a weakness that all of us have, not some of us, all of us have this weakness. Now, to pray in the Spirit means to submit yourself to the will of God and to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to pray. So you pray according to God's will. You pray according to God's will. That's the will of the Spirit. Spirit is the seed for the king in accordance with God's will. So how to learn from the Holy Spirit? How to let the Holy Spirit actually lead you in prayer? How to enter into the school of prayer in which the Holy Spirit is the teacher? How he does it? Those prayers in school that disciples went to the Lord Jesus Christ and Lord alone teach us how to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. So now we need to apply it in the school of prayer, but not any school of prayer, in which the teacher is the Holy Spirit. Do you know what is this school? This school is called what? The Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms. Is that the school of prayer? Because that's why the church supported, when you pray, let each one have his own psalm. Why is it the school of prayer is the Book of Psalms? Psalms are prayer. And who wrote the Psalms? So tell me, David. It is the Spirit who wrote the Psalms. Because every word David or other Psalms uttered were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So actually, when you pray using the Psalms, you are praying the words of the Holy Spirit, which is in accordance with God's will. So this would be a perfect prayer. And the more you pray Psalms, the more you learn from the Psalms how to pray. How to pray according to God's words. That's why the book of our prayer, which is called Agbaya. Agbaya is composed of what? Psalms. 80% of the Agbaya are Psalms. And the other 20% are the Gospel, which is also inspired by the Holy Spirit. And some litany and prayer, which the Church Father composed again with the Holy Spirit in accordance with the teaching of the Holy Scripture. So when you pray the Agbaya, actually you enter into the school of prayer and you learn how to pray in the Spirit. Because you will learn the four forms of prayer, the supplication, the prayer, the intercession, and the thanksgiving. These are the four forms that St. Paul mentioned in his letter to Timothy. Most of our prayers when we pray by ourselves, it's just supplication and request. But how to learn to use the word of prayer or the word of intercession, word of thanksgiving? No, that's when you enter the school of the psalm in the Agbaya. So, in order to let the Spirit help your weakness, then you need to learn from the Spirit in the book of Psalms in the Agbaya. Here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. So Paul Allah to pray in the Spirit, you need actually to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. With all kinds of prayer. Don't use only one of five, but you need to use all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the things. What are the differences? I told you there are four forms of prayer. Requests, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. And to pray in the Spirit, you need to pray using these four forms. What are the differences between these four forms? Request. If you go to your friend and tell him, I want you to help me with my homework, or I want you to get married with this lady, or I want you to do this favor for me, that's what we call request. So when you go to God, having a certain request from Him, that's what's called supplication. You know, you ask God to do certain things for you. That's supplication. That is actually the lowest form of prayer, when you ask something from God. The second level of prayer, which we call it prayer. Prayer is what? It's like communication. If you go to your friend, to Allah, I miss you. I didn't see you for a long time. It's very, very nice to see you today. I enjoyed my time with you. So here, actually, you are not asking a certain request, but you are expressing your feeling toward your friend. That's prayer. For example, when David said, how lovely your dwelling, O Lord, O causes. My soul desires to stay at the courts of the Lord. One day in your courts are better than 1,000 there outside. In all this world, David did not make a certain request, but he was sharing with God his feelings. How it's very, very beautiful to be in the church of God, to be in the house. How this gives him satisfaction, how this gives him pleasure in his heart. So in your prayer should not only be requests, but also you need to reflect on your relationship with God. That's what we call it prayer. And that's the second level of the prayer. The third level of prayer is what we call it intercession. When you pray on behalf of others, when you pray for your church, when you pray for your family, when you pray for your friends, when you pray for your enemies, that's what we call the intercession. And this is also a higher level, because here I forget all about myself and I pray for others. And that's why St. Paul said, always keep on praying for all the saints. You need to keep for everybody all the time. Here you are interceding on behalf of others. So first level is request of application. Second level is prayer, which is communication. You reflect on your relationship with God. Third level is to intercede for others. Here you forget about self and you think about others. The fourth level, actually you forget about yourself and you forget about others. But whom you remember? God. That's praising God. Praising God for who He is. Like the Seraphim and Cherubim, they say, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord of Hosts. No. So praising God is the highest form of prayer. And that's why at the end of the liturgy, by the end of the liturgy, actually, supposedly, we reach the highest level of prayer. That's why we say, praise God in all His things. Praise God for His mighty acts. Praise God for with sounding a harp. Praise God with pleasant sounding cymbals. So here, you forgot about yourself, you forgot even about others, and now just you are totally absorbed in the glory of God, in His majesty, and you praise Him. So praying in the Spirit means to pray with all kinds of prayer, request, prayer, intercession, and also thanksgiving for praising God. And the Holy Spirit actually will help us in all kinds of prayer. So when we pray, we shouldn't just use routine prayer, but pray with the Spirit. Pray a fervent prayer. Pray with the Spirit means to pray with your heart. Not just the lip service, you utter some words by your lips. As Rabbeinu Be'ul, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. The Lord said to the Samaritan woman, God is the Spirit, and those who worship Him should worship Him in spirit and truth. So you need to build yourself up. You need to grow your spiritual life. Here is the second commandment. Pray in the Spirit. So number one, you are building. So you need to have the building material, which is your most holy faith. But to build yourself, as I told you, there is a divine part and a human part. The human part, by searching the scripture and understanding and applying it. The divine part, we will get it through what? As in the charity, we will get it through praying in the Holy Spirit. But there is another element which is very, very important in building yourself up. St. Jude told us, keep yourself in the love of God. You need to keep yourself in the love of God. When we speak about the love of God, usually there are two dimensions here. God loves toward us,
and our love toward them. So, when you speak about God's love toward us, I want to assure you, God will never stop loving you. Will never stop loving you. Even if I am totally immersed in my sin, God still loves me. And maybe because He loves me, He will discipline me. And this discipline is a sign of love. Because He loves me, that's why He disciplines me. Yes, He may rebuke me, but He does this because He loves me. So, at any moment, don't let Satan cast doubt in your heart that God is not loving you, or stop loving you. All the time, God will love you. So when the Jesus says, keep yourself in God's love, He's speaking about me, about my part in this loving relationship, not about God's part, because God will love me all the time. So, His commandment talks about us, keeping up our part of a love relationship with God. So, how to keep your part, how to do your part in order to remain in the love of God. And this is very important. As I told you in the first point, in the second point, by giving us the Spirit, actually, why God gave us the Spirit? In order to have a loving relationship with Him, a relationship of a son with a father, not a relationship of a slave with a master. A loving relationship, not a relationship built on fear. That's why while you are building yourself up, you need to keep this loving relationship. You need to keep this love. So, علشان عملية الجروث to continue, it is our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. Not to get outside this circle of the love of God. Because many people choose not to remain in the love of God. And how to keep yourself in the love of God? Number one, the abundance of sin will make our love toward God grow cold. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And because of the increase of wickedness, because of the abundance of lawlessness, the love of God will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So, if you don't live the life of repentance, if you don't purify yourself from the wickedness, from the evil, from lawlessness, then actually the love of God will grow cold. And here, your spiritual growth actually will stop at this moment. And God will tell you, as He said in the book of Revelation, He will tell you, yes, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your spirit's love. That's why the church reminds us all the time to repent and to return back to God. Because with repentance, we will keep the love of God in our hearts all the time. But if we drifted away from God, this love will grow cold. Another enemy is how to abide in God's love by actually living according to His command. That's how you abide in His love. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. How to abide in your love? He said, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abided in His love. So, disobeying the commandment of the Lord means we are not abiding in His love. So, to abide in the love of God, there are two dimensions. The negative dimension, which is to repent and to cleanse my heart
from all these things. But this another dimension, which is a positive dimension, to grow in the virtue, to grow in the commandment of God. So by growing in the positive side, in the commandment, and also by washing my sins in repentance and in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this way the love of Christ will be kindled all the time in my heart, will be strong in my heart, and I'll abide myself in the love of God. The third element that helps us in keeping ourselves in the love of God is worship. If there is a friend and you don't nurture your relationship with this friend, you don't see him for a long time, what will happen? Actually, your relationship will be very lukewarm. There is no strong emotion or feeling in this relationship. In the same way with God, actually, if we don't present ourselves in His presence, if we don't worship Him, if we don't communicate with Him all the time, this love will disappear from our heart. That's why the worship, whether it is worship in your inner room, or it is worship here in the church, with the assembly of the believers, it's very, very important to kindle and stir up this love in my heart all the time. So worship will nurture my love to God, especially when it's conducted with love and full heart toward God. Nurture that relationship with Him in your own inner room, in your private worship, in your heart, as well as the public worship. Usually, يعني كان عندنا راس كبير في البيت, an old monk in the monastery, and he used to tell us this book. You know, the monk lives in the cell, so the cell is the place where the monk lives. So he used to tell us, the cell feeds the church, and the church feeds the cell. What does it mean? Your worship in yourself will feed your worship in the church. And your worship in the church also will feed your worship in yourself. So don't say just I came to the church and I attended the meeting and I prayed. No. When you pray here, take this push that you receive here in the church, take this power and go to your inner room and pray. And then your prayer in your inner room actually will motivate you, will put a lot of flood in your heart to come to worship in the church. So both the cell and the church feed one another. And by worshiping God, actually you will grow in the love of God, to abide in His love. So how to abide in God? Live the life of repentance, grow in the fruit and the virtues of the Holy Spirit, and worship, communicate with God all the time. Worship Him. Make this line of communication between you and God open all the time. This will make your love to God grow and you will abide in His love. So, now we know how to grow. Number one, to build myself in our most holy faith. And building ourselves, that's our human element. We need the divine element, which is the grace of God. And we get it through praying in the Holy Spirit. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, actually the Holy Spirit will remind me that my relationship with God is a unique relationship. It is not a relationship of favor, of fear, but it is a loving relationship. And I need to keep this loving relationship all the time, to abide in the love of God in order to grow. But what will motivate me? Because Satan most of the time will put doubt in my heart because of my sin, because of my weakness, that maybe God will not accept me. Maybe I'm not qualified to go to heaven. Maybe I didn't do enough. That's what Satan all the time tried to put in my heart. That's why the fourth point, as St. Jude said, look forward to the mercies of Christ. And here, to look forward to the mercy of Christ will give you a hope. And you can see here faith, love, and hope. The three main virtues. In the Divine Liturgy, every time we pray the Divine Liturgy, actually, we make a contract with God. What's this contract? When Abuna speaks about the Day of Judgment, he appointed a day for recompense, and when he will appear to judge the world in righteousness, and give each one according to his deeds. So, we make a contract with God. What's this contract? We say to the Lord, let it be according to your mercy, not according to our sins. So, if we start to look at our sins, nobody will be saved. But if we look at the mercy of God, actually, we will feel hope. God died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. Why? In order to save you and in order to save me. And he let his blood remain on the altar every day. Why? Because we are sinners. And because we are sinners, we need to wash our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all our sins. I say, then if you have very, very strong detergent that removes all the spots. So actually, if your cloth gets dirty, and I have this strong detergent that will remove all the spots from my cloth and bring it back to me again. So here you have hope, and even if some spot defies your garment, but you have this spot remover, it will remove it. Here, what is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? He purifies us from every stain of sin. And based on His mercy, you know, I don't worry. Even if I fall in any sin, I will rise up again and will return to Christ with hope and confidence that He will accept me. Because He did not come to call righteous, but He came to call sinners. The whole don't need physician, but the sick. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here in the church. That's why I'm praying. Because I need the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to sanctify me. So, look forward to Christ's mercy. Look to His promises. Even when you remember the judgment day, remember, have those who wash their garments in the blood of Jesus. Remember that God wrote your name in the book of life. God wrote your name in the book of life, not because you are worthy, but because of His love and His mercy. So, have to keep your garment all the time pure and clean, you know, by washing them in the blood of our Lord Jesus. We are told to look forward to God's mercy for us. The last point, as we see here in the Greek man, in the Greek man, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So if you are asking for the mercy of God, you need yourself to be merciful. As the Lord says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's why here comes the last point, to rescue the person. Because we have a responsibility to one another. In Ikhna, to stir one another in good works, to challenge one another how to grow. Because we are members in the same body, the body of Christ. And if one body is sick, actually, this organ will affect the rest of the organs in your body. That's why in your body, in your physical body, when one organ is sick, actually all other organs try to help this sick organ in order to be healed. In the same way, in the body of Christ, All of us who are members of the same body. That's why if one person is drifting away, we have a responsibility towards this person to bring him back to Christ. We have a responsibility to challenge him to repent and to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, by showing mercy toward others, we will obtain the mercy of God. If you are going to look forward to the mercy of God, then you yourself should be merciful to others. That's why St. John said, St. Jude said in verse 22, and on some have compassion, on some have compassion, have mercy on some. But he said, making a distinction, In rescuing the perishing or in helping those who are drifted away, you need to be wise with the heavenly wisdom. You need to learn how to bring them back. And there are some principles to rescue the perishing. Otherwise, maybe you yourself will be in danger. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, St. Paul gave us some principles how to rescue the person. He told you, number one, if a man is overtaken in any respect, you who are spiritual, you are spiritual. That's why St. Jude mentioned this as the fifth point. You cannot just be a beginner in your spiritual life and then you go and say, I'm going to rescue the person. Actually, you have to be mature. You have to be spiritually mature in order to be able to help others. And when he, with distinction, St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 5 says, the sign of maturity, spiritual maturity, is to be wise, to have distinction, to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. So, in order to rescue the perishing, you yourself should be mature, spiritual mature. Number two, you need, when you tell him about his mistakes, your focus is how to restore him, not how to condemn him. Many times when we speak about those who drifted away, we speak in condemnation, we judge them, judgmental attitude. But actually, our goal is to restore them, not to condemn them or to judge them, to judge them. And to do this in a spirit of gentleness, in compassion, with love, with meekness, not harshness. And he said, consider yourself lest you also be tempted. And the same meaning that St. Jude said, and others said with fear, consider yourself, watch yourself, lest yourself also will be tempted, and you fall at the same sin. So how to rescue others with distinction, with wisdom, with fear. And St. Jude in this passage, he spoke about two groups of people. The first group, those who were drifting away because of wrong teaching, false doctrine. That's why they are not stable in Christ. That's why he says you need actually to bring them back to the truth, and the truth will set free. Don't judge them, don't condemn them, but restore them with compassion. Teach them the truth. Teach them the truth about Christ and about the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation and justification, and you will bring them back. And the second group, he spoke about those who are living in sexual immorality. Those who are living in sexual immorality. When he said, but others, those who are living in sexual immorality, same with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And the word garment here means the garment that's worn directly on the skin. So St. Jude can hint towards Searching to the physical flesh where sexual sin may have taken place, or maybe he's tempting to just the sinful flesh, the flesh in nature, our sinful nature. And then Jude is warning us to restore them with fear. So we must be aware of our own spiritual danger, lest we become accepting sin, accepting sin. Especially the sexual sin, he seems to have in mind here, لما قال, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So St. Jude did not tell us just to hate sin, but Allah even to hate even the garment that's defiled by the flesh. Otherwise, maybe you will be tempted and you will fall in the same sin. So when we help those who are caught in sin, we must do so with fear, lest we stop hating the sin, and gradually if we stop hating the sin, we'll be in fact benach al-khatib. And St. Jude here, the other, this sinner is like a piece of wood in fire. So, if you remain for time in the fire, you will be burned. That's why you need to snatch him outside the fire. Pull him outside the fire. Like the fireman, you jump into the fire, snatch the person, save him, and get out of the fire quickly. Otherwise, you yourself will be tempted. So, we have a responsibility, especially towards our brethren in Christ, to watch out for them. Without a total evacuation, rather than if someone is caught in sin, you as a spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. These are the five steps that will help us to build ourselves up and to grow spiritually. Number one, you need to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Number two, to pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, to abide in that love, to keep yourself in the love of God. And number four, you need to look forward to the message of Christ. This will give you hope, and motivate you to endure to the end. And number five, to have compassion and mercy on others by rescuing the perishing. Glory be to God forever and ever. Do you have any questions about this?
The renewal of mind.
supposed to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Here we have some false belief. What is the false belief? And to live with pride, I will lose fun. It is not fun to live with pride. There is no joy to live with pride. And this is actually a false belief. So here we need to give them how love of Christ and to live with Christ is the real actually meaning of joy, happiness and fun. Because many times when we present spiritual life, we present it in a negative way, not in a positive way. And this will scare our children away from spiritual life. Before we speak about the love and the joy and the happiness that you will have, you speak to them about the cross that they need to carry. Yes, definitely we need to carry a cross. But why our focus on the cross, not on the resurrection? Actually, if we focus only on the cross, without the resurrection, it will be an easy burden. And if we focus on the resurrection, without the cross, that's also Christianity. But how to keep this balance? How to keep them, how to make them love Christ and to see the joy, the happiness in being with God? And also in transformation, in the renewal of mind, how there is misery in living away from Christ? How all these fun activities, whether it's drinking or going to class or doing this or doing that or doing drugs or smoking, what are the dangers in all these activities? So that's what we call the renewal of mind. So we need to renew their mind, and when their mind is renewed and they know the truth will set them free and they will be transformed. And number three, there is moment of intervention, good moment for intervention. When the person is vulnerable, when the person goes through difficult time in his life, in this moment he will be ready to hear the word of God and will be ready to accept the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. That's why when a person goes through hardship, this is a very good moment for intervention. Go, visit him, talk with him, try to assure him how God loves him and how God can deliver him from this hardship. And many souls were won during these moments of hardship in their lives. So keep this point, the renewal of their mind, how to take them gradually step by step, and how to intervene when they are vulnerable and ready to hear the word of God. How to increase self-control, willpower. When you pray and you lose track or get distracted, does your prayer or word get heard or accepted because you did not want or mean to lose track? So actually I asked the question. Our question about how to increase your self-control. Discipline helps you to increase your self-control. As St. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest after I teach others, I myself become disqualified. And actually the best exercise to increase your self-control is fasting. During fasting you are saying no to the desires of the fish. The fish tells you, eat now. Tell him, no, I will not eat now. I will eat at 3 p.m. for example. That's you are creating the strength and your willpower. Self-control. You're in fasting, your flesh will tell you, I need to eat this kind of food. You'll tell him, no, you will not eat this kind of food because you are fasting. That's what St. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it to subjection. For example, you woke up in the morning and say, no, it is 5, it's 6 in the morning, it's too early, I will sleep about maybe 30 minutes more before I go to school or before I go to work. But you say no to your body and you start to wake up early and to pray. So, when actually you train yourself to be able to say no to your flesh and to say no to the desires of the flesh and make your spirit lead your flesh, not the opposite, the flesh lead your spirit, in this way, actually, you will increase and you will grow in self-control. Self-control also is the fruit of the spirit. Read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You will find self-control is the last one in the ninth fruit. So, the more you are filled with the Spirit, which means you leave the Spirit, you let the Spirit of God to lead you, direct you in your life, the more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. In your second question, when you get distracted, if you train yourself to repeat what you get distracted, this again will increase your self-control. And if you fail, it's not the end of the world. Just try it again and try again. And gradually, like you know, when I'm building your muscle, maybe first time I can carry this much of pounds. But the more I train myself, the heavier I can carry. In the same way, self-control will increase gradually. You cannot jump from here to here, but just gradually train yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit and you will grow in self-control. About being distracted in prayer, I want to assure you first that God will listen to your prayer. Because as you said, it is not your intention to lose track, but it's weakness. And most of us have this weakness. We pray, sometimes we lose track and we get distracted. But we need to use some methods to help us not to be distracted. For example, when you pray, try to pray with your a heard voice. You can hear it by yourself. Also, even if you memorize the Agbay, I want you to read the words from the Agbay. Open the Agbay and read from it. This will help you not to get distracted. If you get distracted with a certain thought, this means your mind is preoccupied with this thought. Maybe you just need to stop your praying for 1 minute and then pray for the thought that keep bugging you. And when you pray for the thought, now you have peace and then you can go back to your prayer and continue then with this distraction. If you are distracted in a certain prayer, maybe you can repeat it again and thus actually I'm not giving in to distraction. So there are certain spiritual exercises that you can follow to help you to be less distracted in your prayer.
Why is it not the option?
وإلا أوبشن أن أمني ما تريد وتريد تدير أعلى. So after option number C, to read with your eye, understand with your mind, apply your mind, and then check this option. That's what you need to do. When something is occupied by mind, it is usually the only thing that I focus my prayer on. It is either that or I don't pray at all. Is that wrong to focus my prayer on only my need? Let me ask a question. If you have a friend comes to you only when he needs you, when he needs favor from you, and other than this, you will never hear from him. He will never call you, he will never contact you, he will never be known. Are you going to be happy in this relationship? How do you describe this person? Describe him because he is a selfish person. He really does not love me. He really does not care about me. He comes to me only for his needs. And this is not a loving relationship. So if you go to God only when there is something, when you need him, but if you don't need him, then you don't pray. This is not welcome. Just you are using God as a tool in order to fulfill your needs. That's it. A paradise relationship. But not a loving relationship. That's why you need to grow in your love to God. But then ask a question, answer to the other, that's a typically used meeting question. Can you guess about what?
Exactly.
What boyfriend can get this way? I don't know what boyfriend is. Now, who am I talking
to?
Now, what is the normal age to get married? Well, he has 75. The record is the result if my behavior come positive and negative toward my country, community, family, friends. Same more the result is my behavior come positive and negative, or even positive and negative, toward my country, community, and so for the fact, I got very thin in our what is the normal age to get married. And here I recall his great Bishop Musa, the Bishop of the Eve. Usually Sayyidina and the Musa Muhammad Allah wa Allah, what is the best age for marriage? Long when you are mature, spiritually, financially, physically, educationally, socially, in every kind of maturity. Because the decision of marriage, to build a family, and to be responsible for a family, responsible for a spouse and children, this is a big decision. And you cannot just start this decision unless you are totally mature. Totally mature in every act. So, whenever you are mature, that is the best age for marriage. طبعاً, سيدنا رضي الله عنه مثل this five career, I'm mature man. Mature is day, when there is about business عليه, نحن المصروف منه. How to describe this as mature? And not about spiritual maturity, with psychological maturity, with education, إلى آخره. Have you got a boyfriend and girlfriend? Actually, you should not get into this one-to-one relationship unless you are married. Unless you are getting ready to be married. Because I feel like I'm telling you here in the you can be tempted especially if you are hitting somebody in sexual immorality. And then just you are hitting him
You can be tempted and fall in sin. That's why you are like sin, demon, seer. When you are getting close to a person from the other gender, the temptation is very, very hard. In the book of Proverbs, they're like, nobody hold fire in his bosom and will not be burned. That's why I want you to deal with all your brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters in Christ, as friends. Don't have one-to-one relationship unless you are mature and you are ready and you are considering marriage seriously. Before this, yeah, college boys are your friends and college girls are your friends. So, deal with everybody, treat with everybody as friends with Christian love. Like, don't start a dating relationship unless you are ready for marriage. And the second question, we are the children of God, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Ashkeda, definitely, our behavior will affect either negatively or positively, you know, our family, our country, our community, our friends, if we don't live in the image and the likeness of Christ. If we are light, then, as the Lord said, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good work and glorify your Heavenly Father. But if we are darkness, then actually the name of God will be blasphemed because of us. So how you present yourself in your family, in your friend, country and community is very, very important. Because either you will give them a good message about Christ or a bad message about Christ. St. Paul said to the Thessalonians, you are my letter, you are our letter, read by all the people. So you are the letter of Christ, you are the gospel of Christ. And everybody, when he sees you, he should know who Christ is, because we are Christian. So if we behave negatively, then yes, the name of Christ will be blasphemed. But actually, if we behave positively, then when we see our good works, they will glorify our Heavenly Father. Glory be to God forever and ever.
Thank you very much, Sayedna, for coming. Thank you for the golden teaching we learned today. As you know, it's a yearly habit to see Sayedna on the occasion of our beloved Bob Kerebros the Sixth, and we get blessing from his grace. And please, we ask you to pray for all of us to do what we learned today. Thank you, Abuna Mishori, thank you, Abuna Brown, thank you for all of you. وكل سنة وانت طيب. أمين أبير ويا سيسير أمين.
Moi, Roes, Timitania, Conie, Evolgum, Besmo, Curva, Novi, Amen.
or given to our sin, to use the power of the Lord is living in us, whatever we mean, the Lord will give us to be thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us the day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil one, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we ask that the Father forgives you on the behalf of the Son, our Holy Father, and Jesus Christ, the angels of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Good and peace, may the peace of the Lord. I'm here to get blessing from the Yerna and lectures from our beloved Father.